All right, good evening, everyone. Parashat Tzaveh, Shabbat Zachor, Erev Purim Bezrat Hashem. A lot going on, a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. First of all, I'd like to thank a sponsor that sponsored the Shiur. Leilu Nishmat, Mashiach Ben Simcha, Malka Bat Yitzchak. Also Leilu Nishmat, Yonatan David Ben Yehuda. And Shir Shabir Refuah Shlema for Mordechai Eliezer Ben Chava, Toch Shar Chole Yisrael.
Amen.
Everyone should have Refuah Shlema, Refuah Tanefesh, Refuah Taguf. So, Parashat Tzaveh, most years, falls out around Purim time. Zachor, talking about Amalek. First of all, it's a connection between Parashat Tzaveh, never a coincidence. Parashat Tzaveh, what the Parashat speaks about, and Purim in general. Also, why do we overemphasize Amalek? Why was Amalek so bad? What was Amalek trying to do? They were commanded to destroy Amalek, to erase it. The Midrashim tell us that Haman and Achashverosh both teamed up and planned to destroy Am Yisrael. What was their plan? What was the cause of the gzerah, of the decree from Shamayim that Am Yisrael should be destroyed? What caused it? What triggered it? And what was the Savior? So, let's open up with the parasha. Parasha begins, V'atat tzaved b'nei Yisrael, you should command the b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha, should take for you, shemen zayit zach katit lama'o. Take pure olive oil that has been crushed, lahalot ner tamid, in order to light ner tamid. The Midrash tells us that Am Yisrael is compared to oil, olive oil. And it gives us two pshats. Pshat number one, Midrash tells us that just like olives, in order to get to the oil, what must you do to the olives? You need to crush it, you need to twist it and squeeze it and press it. So too, Am Yisrael, sometimes we need to be pressed, we need to be crushed, we need to be squeezed, we need to go through hardships. In order for what? In order for the pure olive oil to come out. It's a very unfortunate thing. However, sometimes in life we have to go through hardships. It's inevitable. Because in order to reveal our true self, in order to reveal our potential, sometimes we have to go through these moments. And therefore, we are all compared to olive oil. A person has an easy life from beginning to end. Odds are he's never going to accomplish anything. He's never going to grow. He's never going to be a better person, a greater person, and definitely never going to reach his potential. Reaching your potential, becoming the best that you can be, can only come about through challenges, through hardships. Pshat number one in the Midrash. Pshat number two. We are Am Yisrael compared to oil, says the Midrash, because just like oil doesn't mix with other liquids and always floats to the top, so too Am Yisrael, as much as you try to mix and assimilate Am Yisrael to the other nations, a Jew will always stand out and hold on to his identity. Not only that, a Jew will always float to the top, for better and for worse. Open up the news, you'll see Jews always on the headlines. For better and for worse. We're always going to float to the top. Be the center of attention. We have a miskin, tiny little country in the Middle East. A little strip of land compared to the other countries. Nevertheless, we're always on the front page of the Times. Every single day. Every single day. A small nation. The small country. But somehow makes a lot of noise. We don't mix. We don't mix. So, you think about it. The story of Purim, the main characters, Mordechai, Esther, Mordechai made it a point to stand out. He made it a point, he made it public. He made a public statement every single time he walked outside. And he said, I'm not mixing. I'm not bowing. I'm not dressing like the Goyim. I'm not acting like the Goyim. Everyone is bowing down to Haman. I'm not bowing down to Haman. He stood out. Now one might think, Okay, maybe Esther. Esther was a little more introverted. And maybe she did not stand out. She did not hold on to her own identity. Chas v'shalom. You find there wasn't one moment in time that Esther viewed herself as a Goya. She viewed herself as the wife of Achashverosh. She always viewed herself as a Jew. And that even though it wasn't publicized, it wasn't announced, but she never let go to who she was. Not even for a split second. All the lessons of Purim, think about it, are all applicable today. Haman, Achashverosh, they wanted us dead. The Jews participated in the Seudah of Achashverosh. They felt comfortable sharing in the culture of the Goyim, feeling a part of the Goyim, wanting the Goyim to feel a part of us. It says in the Megillah, Vashtiach Adat Enones. The drinks were kosher. A kosher bar at the Seudah v'Achashverosh. Wow, what could be better? What could be better? It's an all-you-can-eat, kosher, open bar. Any alcoholic beverage you want, any food item you want, an unlimited amount. Why do you think they all went there? Persian. I'm joking. Who wouldn't go? Wow, unbelievable. Opportunity of a lifetime. Achashverosh instructed his officers, you make sure that not one Jew gets drunk. No one should be getting drunk. Says the Sefer Megillat Starim, why? What's pshat? Why did Achashverosh insist? If anything, what? You should let them get drunk, let them get trashed, let them make fools out of themselves. No. No one gets drunk. You know why? Because then when they do their averot, it's going to be beratzon. It's going to be out of will. It's going to be with their full conscious mind. They're sinning willingly. Achashverosh said, that's what I want. Because the only way to beat them is to get them to join us. And the only one way for them to join us is for them on their own will, not by force. Throughout history you find Jews being forced to go against their religion. Somehow we always held on to our religion. Always. But if someone is tempting you, seducing you, hey, you do this, it's going to be good for you. It's enjoyable. Shtiach hadat, drinks, food. That's the way to get them. Said Achashverosh. It's the way to get them to become a part of us. Haman's dream, think about it, Haman's dream was that his daughter should marry the king after Achashverosh killed Vashti. That was Haman's dream. He was pushing and pushing, trying to use his protexia, his connections. Right? Hey, listen, Achashverosh, listen, we have something going on together. You know, we have a connection. Let's make a shiduch together. My daughter, she's beautiful, pretty. She has an education. She went to top college. She wants to be a doctor. Actually, in those days, that wasn't something that was to take pride of. She knows how to cook well. She knows how to clean very well. She'll be a perfect wife for you, Achashverosh. That was his dream. It was everyone's dream after Vashti died. There was a long line of women. You get royalty. You get wealth, honor, glory. Who wouldn't want that? You know who wouldn't want that? Esther Malka wouldn't want that. Esther, what does it say about her? Vatilakach Esther. She was taken against her will. She wanted no part of this. Why not? You could become among the king's, household members, get whatever you want, wear whatever designer outfits you want, you'll get whatever you want. You could get out of your shell a little bit. It's okay, what's so bad about it? Esther represents the neshama of a Jew, which is referred to as in Kabbalah as Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael refers to the gathering of all neshamot of Jews. Estelle's name, it wasn't Estelle, that wasn't a real name. Her name is Hadassah. Estelle comes from the word Estahar, which in Persian means the moon. Because the moon refers to the neshamot in Kabbalah, and the moon and a neshama are the same. They go hand in hand. Neshamot of Am Yisrael, that just like the moon, at nighttime when things are dark, the moon shines and brings out light, so too, in the darkest of times, even when surrounded by goyim in the exiles, which is symbolic of darkness, a neshama shines. Esther, her name was Hadassah. Hadassah is Hadas, comes from it's that's a Hadas. Hadas, if you open up the Gemara in Sukkah, it tells you characteristics of each of the Dalet Minim. Etrog, right? A good smell, a good taste. You go to the Hadas, good smell. It has a very good smell. And there's one sense that the Neshama is able to have benefit from, and that is the sense of smell. Sense of smell goes straight to the Neshama. That's why the Ben Ishchai says, after a person smells something good, he should say, Kol HaNeshama Tehalleluya Hallelujah. Every neshama should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when you make a bracha on smell, the smell is a pleasure of the neshama. Estelle's name was Hadassah, because Estelle was the neshama. She represented the neshama. Estelle's a neshama which corresponds to all the neshamot of Jews. And a neshama, by default, is yearning to get close to its source, to get close to its origin. What's the neshama's origin? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it gets detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from heavens, and is brought down into this world. It's removed. It's now more distant from its source. It's a tremendous pain for the neshama. A tremendous pain. Anytime a neshama is brought down into this world, you find something very interesting, that when a child comes into the world, and a child is born, it starts crying. People don't understand that when a person involves himself in Olam Hazeh, in Tum'ah, in matters of the Goyim, brings that into his life and starts to connect to his surroundings, people don't understand what a pain it is for the Neshama, how painful it is. And that even though your goof, the external part of who you are, is enjoying it, is benefiting, however, on the inside, the Neshama is in so much pain. The Neshama is so pure, it's a part of Hashem. And you're taking it down, you're dragging it into the world of Tum'ah. A baby cries when it's brought into this world. It doesn't want to be here. Neshama wants no part of this world. That's the story of Esther. She was taken by the king, she hates it. On the outside, it looks amazing for Esther. She comes close to the king, she has everything she wants, she lives in the palace. But what did she do? She cried out. There's a Perek of Tehilim says, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani. She says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you leave me? She was in the palace, which was filled, surrounded with Avodah Zarah. She lost her Ruach HaKodesh. She said, Hashem, why are you leaving me? I don't want to be here. When a person connects to all these things, connects to these disgusting things that are surrounding us on a daily basis, in a way your neshama is being kidnapped. It's just like you have mercy, I'm sorry for all the Mexicans in the room, but you have just like you have mercy on a child that's been kidnapped by someone in Mexico. Of course, you would cry day and night for your child to come back. So too, it's a much bigger pity, it's much bigger rachmanut. When a neshama is seduced, when a neshama is convinced, hey, come over here, it's better for you, it's enjoyable, Olam Hazeh, beautiful, delicious, amazing. It's such a pity, it's such a sad thing. This exactly, Rabotai, was a Seuda v'Achashverosh. The Jews didn't have mercy on their own neshamot, they brought themselves to this Seuda. How can a Jewish neshama sit with a goyim when they're talking about such disgusting things, whose wife is better looking? What a pity. So we have to ask ourselves, who are our role models in life? Who are we striving to be like? Who are we dressing like? Who are we acting like? Who are we speaking like? Who are these people? And where are we searching for them? Who do we look up to? The ones who have the most money? The ones who are the most famous, the most popular, the best looking? Who are they? All these things are so external. They're so external to our essence, to our neshama. The neshama is yearning and yearning and yearning to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's yearning and begging. It's searching for meaning. Esther Mamash made it up to the very, very top. But the Megillah emphasizes time and time again that she was miserable. She felt like she was kidnapped and taken forcefully. Mordechai, a tzaddik, his name is hinted to in the Torah. The Gemara says, Mordechai min haTorah minayin. Where do we find a reference to Mordechai in the Torah? The Pasuk says, Besamim Mordoror, that the Besamim, the good smell for the Shemen HaMishcha that was anointed on the Kohen, Mordoror. And Targum Unkelus says, Mare Dachya, which is Mordechai. That's where Mordechai's name is hinted to. It's not a coincidence that his name is hinted to in a smell. Dafka, a smell, a good smell. It's not a coincidence that his name is hinted to in the smell that went into what? Oil. Oil doesn't mix. A smell represents the neshama. Doesn't mix. Wants to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Always wants to yearn to be closer to Hashem. So, the parasha begins talking about oil and how it doesn't mix. And we use that oil to light Nerot. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, that a Ner represents a Neshama. The same way that oil represents the Neshama, a Jewish soul. Oil rises to the top because a Jewish soul has no business being in these low places. Has no business being in these low places. Hashem's name is hidden in the story of the Megillah. That's why. That's really the reason why the Bnei Yisrael struggled so much. They were so challenged by going to the Seuda. They didn't feel Hashem with them. Hashem was hiding throughout the entire story of the Megillah. So too with us in this world. The source of our struggles, our religious and spiritual struggles, is when we do not feel Hashem with us. When we do not recognize, we don't open up our eyes to understand who we are, what our neshama is, and to understand that Hashem is there. When we feel Hashem is hiding and is not there, that's the source of all problems. Hester Panim. Our job is to fulfill the title of what we're going to read. It's called Megillat Esther. Megillah means what? To reveal. Esther means something that is hidden. It is to be legalot what is nistar. To reveal that which is hidden. And that could mean revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, but that could also mean revealing our neshamot to ourselves and uncovering them. Removing all of those layers that are blocking our vision, that are not allowing for us to feel our neshama, to see our neshama, and to live with our neshama. The Midrash tells us that when Esther went towards the end of the story, when she was going to go, when Am Yisrael's fate was in jeopardy, Esther went and was going to go to Achashverosh. But she was scared to go because she was not invited. And in the past, anyone who visited the king uninvited would be put to death. It's not done. It's not accepted to go and see the king uninvited, even if you're his own wife. And she was very hesitant. And Mordechai sent her secret messages to go. Well, you have no choice. If you don't go, all of Am Yisrael is going to be killed. You have no choice. You have to do it. Take the risk. And she said, I can't go. He hasn't even called for me in over 30 days. What's the remez over here? The remez is, anytime it mentions HaMelech in the Megillah, it's referring to, could be referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And what's Esther saying? HaMelech, the king, did not call for me in 30 days. Maybe he doesn't want me. That sometimes, when we live with Hester Panim, we live with this feeling, this notion, that we don't feel Hashem, that Hashem is not here with us. We start believing, Chas v'shalom, Hashem does not want us. Hashem hasn't called for me in such a long time. Hashem doesn't want me. And because of that, it causes what? That we don't go and call for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that we don't cling to our source. That's what happens. Mordechai insisted, you have to go, you have to go, you have to go. The Pasuk of the Megillah says, Vayomer HaMelech leHaman, HaKesef Natun Lach, in the beginning of the story, when Haman went and suggested, wow, genius plan to get rid of Am Yisrael. Here I have some money for it. You'll be rich, I'll be rich, we'll both be happy. Achashverosh, the king, responds, Vayomer HaMelech leHaman, HaKesef Natun Lach, the money is yours. Tosfot says, HaKesef in Gematria is a Tosfot. It's not Hasidic Rebbe this year that made up this Gematria. This is a Tosfot. Tosfot says, HaKesef in Gematria is Ha'etz. And Achashverosh was hinting to Haman, yeah, you're giving me the money to destroy the Jews. This same money is going to be what the tree that you're going to hang on. So that's the remez Achashverosh was given. Question is, Achashverosh spoke Lashon HaKodesh, and in the beginning of the story of Megillah, he was hinting to Haman of his death. This is Achashverosh over here. He hated the Jews more than Haman hated the Jews. Says Chaim Avadia, quoting another Sefer, Kotnot Or. He writes that when it says HaMelech, it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Achashverosh was not hinting to Haman's death and that he was going to be hanged on the tree. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Just have to open up our eyes to see the signs from Hashem, to see Hashem hiding in this world. The Sfarim say, I heard this b'shem one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, Amalek is milashon melika. That melika is when you detach, it's a shechita for a bird. You detach the bird's head from the rest of its body. Melika. What's the head? What's the body? The head represents your neshama, and neshama is in the brain. The body represents the goof. Amalek wanted to detach our neshamot from our goof. Live two different lives. That's okay. You live your neshama life, but put it on the side. Now go and fulfill your goof life. You could go and daven in the morning, go to minyan. Okay, in Shushan, you can go to Minyan. There are Minyanim there. There was a Chabad in Shushan. Yeah? But after Minyan in the morning, go to the Seudah v'Achashverosh. Make a bracha before you eat. It's kosher food. But in the middle of the Seudah, there's going to be a lot of immoral things happening. That those two can coexist. That's Amalek. It can coexist. You can be like this when you're in the Bet Midrash. And you could be like that when you're out. Chas v'Shalom. It does not mix. It does not coexist. A neshama cannot mix. It's like oil. That's why there's such a tremendous emphasis on erasing Amalek. And that was the plan of Achashverosh and Haman. To detach the Am Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To detach the neshama from the goof. That's what they tried to accomplish by bringing them to the Seudah. And that's when the Gezerah happened. That's when the Gezerah was instituted, that Am Yisrael should be destroyed. And what was the Savior? The Savior was when Esther Malka told everyone to fast for 3 days, no eating. Lech kenoset kol ha'yudim, everyone must come together and become a nation. Enough intermingling with the Goyim. Enough being influenced by the Goyim. Enough dressing like them. Enough speaking like them. It's time that we come together as a nation and understand who we are and who we come from. And once there was a Lech Kenosat Kol Yehudim, once Am Yisrael came together and remembered who they were and how holy their neshamot was and how one cannot bring down his neshama to such a low place because it's such a holy thing. Once that happened, that was the beginning of the Yeshua. So, as we enter Parashat Zachor, as we enter Purim, it's important to take these lessons with us. The sin that triggered our near destruction was Am Yisrael eating kosher food, drinking kosher wine, davening with minyanim, but being a part of a sudav goyim. Being a part of a sudav goyim. That's what it was. It wasn't gilui arayot, shvichut damim, avodah zara. It wasn't that. It was being a part of the sudav of goyim. That's how it all started. So let's think for ourselves how much we are or are not influenced by our surroundings. Try to be a little more aware. Try to be a little more mindful. And try to remember how high of a neshama you have. And that it's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that don't cause for your neshama to be kidnapped. Don't let it be kidnapped by your surroundings. Don't let it be seduced. Don't let it be bribed by Hollywood, by Ta'avot, by what you see outside on the street, on the phones, on the movies. Don't do that to your neshama. Miskin. Poor thing. It's such a holy thing. It's such a holy thing. And as soon as we understand and we can comprehend how holy we are because of our neshamot, how lofty we are. It's going to cause that we're never going to succumb to disgusting, contaminated things. And Mizrat Hashem, and that zechut, that we're able to stand out, we're able to understand that we don't mix, that we are who we are, we should be proud of who we are, not to be embarrassed like Mordechai. Lo yichrav lo yishtachave. He said to Haman in his face, I don't care who you are. I don't care what decrees you have. I'm not bowing down to you. A Jew does not mix. Period. As soon as we understand that, Bezrat Hashem, should all be zochet to see with our own eyes the coming of Mashiach, Tzidkenu b'mehirah v'ameinu. Amen. Amen. Amen.